In a world full of boring stories, bad videos, and marketing misinformation, one very tall man with a weird last name will use his microphone.
Is this thing on?
Use his video marketing knowledge.
It's the red button, right?
And use his friends.
Please be on the show.
To change that. You are listening to the Garlic Marketing Show with Ian. What? No, that's how you pronounce it. Well, if you say so, your host, Ian Garlic.
Hey, welcome to the special edition of the 300th episode of the Garlic Marketing Show. This one is just part of a larger video that we put together. It's on YouTube. We wrote an article on LinkedIn. And this is one segment. It's a little more expanded. But if you want to see all of it all together, just make sure to go over to our Story Crew's LinkedIn and check out the entire video. Plus, of course, make sure to subscribe. We're going to be pushing a lot of these videos out and doing a lot more great marketing information and stories now in this new season of the Garlic Marketing Show.
Welcome back to the Garlic Marketing Show, 300th episode conglomeration put together of all of my awesome people I know teaching you what's working in 2021 in four professional services for lawyers, doctors, dentists, healthcare. And today I've got my great friend from Bad Rhino, Marty McDonald, who is going to teach us how they just rocked it on ad spend with a recovery tool, medical recovery tool. Marty, how's it going, buddy?
It's going really good. I'm happy to be here. Number 300. That's a nice little milestone for you.
It is. It is a big one. Marty's been there since almost the beginning. I think you're probably like episode 30. I got to look back on that. So yeah, nice. We should have a big party.
There you go.
This is kind of like a party, a Marty party. So Marty, you know, Bad Rhino does social media and does it very well, and social media with results, which I love, a direct response. You got to go check out his videos. We worked with him on his videos, you know, and helped him get his client stories. Done so many big things for clients, which I love. And that's why I want to have them on, because they get real results, right? They're not just teaching this stuff. They're not just, you know, one and done over and over and over with clients over what, 10 years now, Marty?
How long? 11. Yeah. Year 11. Yeah.
Year 11. They've been doing this. So, you know, this stuff works, you know, they're in the trenches doing it. It's not just some company that says, oh, here's what you should do. So Marty, tell me a little bit about this client and what you did for them.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always interesting when you bring up like just broad categories, right? So people talk about healthcare, legal, you know, like going into your lead in here, talking about dental stuff and all that. And then there's like subsets of things in there. So we work with a variety of healthcare clients. We work with technology side. We've worked with directly with like, you know, doctors and plastic surgeons and dentists and things like that. But then there's also that underside, right? That supply side, things that people need, masks, gowns, post-surgical shapewear, things that were like compression wear for post-surgical recovery, right? So when we entered into this, it was an interesting time. It was the very beginning of 2020, not thinking of anything. Then obviously pandemic hit. So they had a shift. They had, you know, a bunch of issues, but the big thing that we were able to do is drive sales right through their website. So with that, you know, what you have to do in getting involved and getting involved with a client to actually push results, not only through social, but through other digital channels, is you got to understand the market, right? Mm-hmm. Got to understand the pieces there. So you, through all this, we also had cancellations of surgeries, right? So yeah. Like certain states didn't have things. So then, you know, fast forward through all that, we were able to drive incredible results through, you know, direct response type ads and things like that. So there's a couple of things that you want to do. One, like I said, is understand the market, right? So we did extensive market research up front. So these are compression garments and they're designed for post-surgical support. So for example, if somebody unfortunately had, you know, breast reduction usually due to unfortunately cancer or an illness, right? There's a lot of other moving parts in there that I was not aware of when we were you know, first working here, but you have to design the ads not to talk about specific, you know, issues, i.e., you know, this is why you're sick, this is why you need this, but it was all designed for the prep work and then afterwards for the healing process. So it's a little bit different when you're focusing in on there. So taking all that information, and then also in 2020 was moving where places weren't having things. So we had to shift everything from there, but then taking all the ads and focusing in on where were the most areas that have a lot of elective surgery, right? So understanding the market was Texas, Florida, Arizona, California, Chicago, New York, and Florida. Those were the main areas at first. Then you have pockets of places around the country. So driving the results where people were having these things done. Fast forward out of 2020 and taking all that information is getting them involved in an ad plan that was actually bringing good results that weren't just related to a pandemic, right? So you had like spikes in sales because they also did very, very cool masks that were like skin-like, you know, because they had masks for the medical profession already. Mm-hmm. So they were pushing those. So through there, we did an omni-channel approach. So it's Google, Facebook, AdRoll. The strategy there was creating all these ads and split testing. Same thing here, here in March of 2021, still consistently doing that. Mm-hmm. Taking everything through there and looking at their ROAS all the time. And the target was 4-1, which is good. And anything over 2-1 is always good. And some of the results, right? Let me just rock through these. And then we can kind of move into like that next question of how you get started there. So just in a short period of time, we were able to do 500,000 clicks that resulted in 40,000 orders, right? Ad spend was just over 600,000, but the revenue was 5 million. So we had 500,000 clicks and about 37,000 orders. And the interesting part here is on the ad spend, just over 600,000 revenue. Wow. Revenue is 5 million. So overall ROAS were over 8. Yeah. So like when you look at that, like those are the overall results. Specifically on PPC, we bypassed the 4-1 goal by a little bit. We're closer to 5-1. And specifically on that same ad spend, their direct revenue was 3 million. So you're just under 5, right? So the interesting part there is the testing that went into that was so much. And when I say so much, it was understanding where the market was, right? So think about it. The whole United States is where they're advertising, right? Basically, you know, you could do this whether you're in your New Hampshire or whether you're in Virginia or you're out in Colorado. But at the same time, you want to focus in where the majority of these surgeries took place and dial those in. So like I said, it was Florida, Texas, Chicago, New York, California, Arizona were like the main areas. Dialed it in there, and then you could scale it to whatever you want. The more they wanted to spend, more revenue they brought in. And that was just kind of the main focus there is understanding that market.
I want to back up a little. So ROAS, return on ad spend, you know, and then and the total costs, and you were talking about like these astronomical numbers. I agree with you, like 4-1 should be a target, but even if you're getting 1-1 return on ad spend, I think that's an important thing for people to realize up front that you, how long were you going before you even got break even on the ad spend?
So the interesting part there is we're our initial goal, like the kind of the reach goal was 4-1, right? Mm-hmm. You'll see it in this slide here, but like the one part is where you started to get really good testing information back. And that's where, you know, a lot of clients and people in general, when they jump into PPC land, they're not afraid to keep going, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm only getting 2-1. And I always say, like, you know, if you're walking down the street and you had a pocket full of 20s and you handed a 20 out to somebody and they gave you 40 back, I think you would do that all day.
Yeah.
I think people get blown out of proportion when they start talking about different return on ad spend and they're like at 5-1, 6-1. They want all this stuff. But you know, if anything that you've ever seen us do or talk or me talk about is you have like that wheel, like you have multiple things that you have to get the attribution right. And certain ad campaigns are there to create brand awareness. But yeah, 2-1, hell, 1.5-1 is good, you know?
Because also you're acquiring a customer, right? And that's the other people thing people don't think about. It's like, yeah, your initial sale might be this amount, but if you're a med spa, if you're a dentist, if you are an ATEP, even these people, even if you're selling a product, people are going to come back and buy from you over and over and over again. And if you can deliver well and break even on that initial, or even lose a little bit of money on that initial person, but you're not losing all your money to acquire them, then I think that's I just want to stress that with everyone listening, because it's something, even if you know this, you get away from. Like, yeah. Oh, and there's so many times, we've run so many ad campaigns where I'm lucky if I get, 0.25 to one, but it's testing and improving. And knowing that, I broke even, but I collected three customers that are going to spend a lot with me over
the course. And that's really the key, is understanding that mark. And it's usually when you hit about 1-to-1, that's when you should start to scale. Now, don't take that as the end all be all, because there's some other factors. But once you hit that, where you're acquiring a customer for that price, then you can start to scale and start to look at other things. And for us, with this client, particularly Marina, it was keep going and testing multitude of things in different areas. And then we would take the information from one area and apply it to the next area. And it was accelerating. Mm. I think when we look at like 5-to-1 and 8-to-1, just throwing those numbers around, what I am amazed at is once we hit 1-to-1, which was about a year ago, I would say a little less than a year ago, probably April, May of last year. Then it was just skyrocket from there. Like, we were able to just keep churning and churning and churning. Retargeting was a huge part of that.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, that's an important thing, I think, for people to realize, is that this is a process, and people are going to sell you the idea of 8-to-1. And Marty's going to talk about it. I mean, that's something you sell to people, but it's a process to getting to it. But once you get there, you're there. Right. And then it's maintaining it and looking at it. How important, like you mentioned, like testing, how important is, well, let's explain deeper what omnichannel is and how important it was to getting these results.
Yeah, I think everything now, we're in 2021, we've been having an omnichannel approach for probably close to 3 years now, like specifically pitching that. Like, we'd have a lot of people that just, hey, I just want to do Google. Hey, I just want to do Facebook. Hey, I just want to do whatever. And now we're finding more and more just that there's no attention span. So when you use omnichannel, which is going out to multiple channels and multiple different ways to reach your potential clients, and definitely leveraging retargeting through a variety of different things, not only just social, but then out there, when you're in the New York Times for an ad, or you're doing some geofencing in there's so many different ways. But the biggest thing is to understand where the market is, hit them from all sides, because think about in just your regular day, whatever you do for a living, if you see an ad and you're in the market for a car, and the next thing you know, you get 27 ads all over the place for a car, but you know in the next 30, 45 days, you're going to buy a car. You may not buy that day, but you're like, oh, I really like this place. It's right around the corner from my house. It's this, it's that. But then it's like, oh, I got a call, or, oh, the kids have, Zoom school, and then the next thing you know, you forget about it. And then what you find is in the market, and our clients are finding that when we have the omnichannel approach, they're getting better results because everybody is distracted and they don't necessarily want to see ads, but they also know if they searched, BMW Orlando, and they clicked on something, when the retargeting and other things are in place, let the machine take over and keeps reminding that person and follows through. And with this, having an omnichannel approach with other clients as well, it really drove, not only results, but it drove a great return. And I think it's super important now in 2021 that you have video, you have email, you have multiple ways, not only from a content standpoint, but then distributing that content out to potential clients and customers.
Yep. Yeah, I agree completely. People are not staying on one platform. You don't stay on one platform, and and you have different intent on different platforms. If I'm on YouTube, I have a different intent than on Facebook. And we've got to look at that in different ways too, as far as what content you're putting in front of there. And if someone's doing Google search, it's completely different intent. They're closer to buy.
Closer to buy, yep.
Yep.
And that's when you do the attribution rates, right? So what's funny is when you look at that and people go, well, our paid ads aren't doing so well, right? And you'll see on that slide that we have up here, when you see the 8-to-1, that's like everything mixed in. When you just rip out the PPC, it's closer to 5-to-1. So you have to be able to look at those things objectively, because I might click on that BMW ad using that example, But then when I go back, I'm not going to click on the same ad. I'm going to, or even an ad in general, I'm going to then search, right? So then I click, you know, I go to Google, I put in the information and be like, ah, what was that dealership? I saw that one special they were running. Oh yeah, it's this one. And I find it and I click there and then I schedule an appointment to come in. Now, when people look in the back end, they go, oh, well, look at all this organic stuff. And the interesting thing is, you know, we'll have clients go, well, we should shut off Facebook because it's not doing anything. But then when you have that omni-channel approach, it's like suddenly, like we have one client, different segment of business, they shut off all their Facebook ads because they're like, this isn't working. They're like, let's keep everything else running. We're like, ah, you kind of need the Facebook part. They're like, no, but look at the numbers. And we're like, okay. So we shut off all the Facebook stuff. They went from $300,000 a month in revenue to $100,000 a month. Then wow. They were like, well, everything looks the same. And I'm like, the only thing is you turned off Facebook, turned it back on and jumped right back up. Because the intent, to your point, isn't necessarily where people click and buy, because I'm on Facebook. But when they see it, it hits their head. They go, yeah, I do need to do that. This is actually a good ad, you know, and then they then go search, but then it's attributed to an organic search.
Yep.
When you take out all the paid stuff, right? And then people are like, well, why are organic searches like less? I'm like, because you're not top of mind for these people. And they're like, oh, look, squirrel. Nope, I'm buying a Mercedes instead of a BMW. Oh,
yes,
you know?
And exactly.
That's what you got to do with the omnichannel.
Well, and think about meta. This is what I think so few people, everyone pushes funnels, right? And everyone's funnel, 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 funnel. And funnels work, but people don't stay in your funnel. No one goes, oh, I'm just going to go from landing page to landing page, especially when it comes to like healthcare. I'm going to go do a review search. Oh, that review's 5 stars. Okay, let me go search about buying it. I'm not going to go back to the ad to buy. But to your point, the ad reminded me to go look. And understanding that journey, I think, is absolutely critical to having a great, you know, omni-channel approach.
Sure.
So let's go through how you're doing this. I want you to show me what you're doing.
Sure. So, I mean, the first phase is what you need to do with anything that you're launching, everything in terms of ads, right? Mm-hmm. So the first phase is, all right, let's make sure organically you have the content. So if I am selling something like Marina, I want to make sure that they have content that's out there written as well as video. Okay. So do that and distribute that via social. So let's get some basics. If people are looking for more information, they click an ad and they go, okay, this is what I need. But then phase two of that is, let me do some research. You have to have some explanation, even if it's just on your website. It doesn't necessarily have to be a blog post or anything like that. So make sure that's all set, right? So if anybody has any questions, they can get it there. Then what we do is we go through about 9 or 10 diagnostic questions. And what these are is to develop the ad copy, right? So what we want to do is we want to ask the client, you know, what keeps your potential client or prospect up at night? Like, what's going to make them just be interested in your product or service? What are they actually afraid of, right? So you think of healthcare, obviously there's a laundry list, but even with cars, you know, what are they afraid of about going to make that jump, right? Mm-hmm. But you want to figure those things out. You know, what might they be angry about? Who are they angry at? Why? You just want to find out what drives them. It's all psychology here at this point, right? Finding out their top three frustrations, what's going to really irritate them. Let's solve those things. What trends are occurring not only in business or their lives, right? Let's just figure out like why they're going to need this. Okay, so they want to get better faster in this case. They want to heal faster. They don't want to be laid up. Doctor says 6 to 8 weeks. They want to be like, hey, I want to get in here and get out of there. And maybe I can cut this down to 5 and at least start to resume normal activities, right? So you start to pull some of that information out. Obviously in healthcare, it's like, what do they secretly desire? They want to be healthy again, right? So they're going to get the situation taken care of, but then they also want to have, you know, some things that they know they can do afterwards. So you kind of put that in there as, you know, in this case, and this is not an ad copy and I don't recommend this, but just to simplify it is, hey, you know, use our compression wear, you know, get used to it before the surgery. Let's then afterwards, this is what it's going to do for you because you want to do this, right? Mm-hmm. Then you want to talk about how quickly they make decisions, right? Is there a way that you can build in a bias in that ad copy to make a decision faster? Do they have like certain language around, you know, hospital stuff or healthcare issues, right? You have to be careful with that because of regulations, but at the same time, you want to incorporate there. And then last but not least, the competitors. Who else is selling something similar and how are they selling it? And understand like where that person fits in the marketplace, then develop the copy and the ads. And we find video, short video ads work the best. But then there's a multitude of ways. You're going to have text ads, you're going to have retargeting ads, you're going to have graphic ads, you're going to have short, even shorter videos like on Instagram and things like that, and just driving the traffic back. But those are the 9 basic questions that we ask to get those diagnostics goes. Then we go into split testing.
Love it. And I mean, it's a pretty simple thing, but here's the thing is everyone starts with, I think they start with the technicals, right? Like, which type of campaign and all that other stuff and targeting. While targeting is important, I think simplifying targeting, if you get the messaging down, you can go broad on the targeting. Because if you're speaking to the right person, that's the great part about this.
And I think broad now with all the changes of iOS and all the other stuff people are yammering about, that's going to be huge. Like we tweaked a bunch of campaigns in very beginning of March because they just weren't performing. And not only in this account, but multiple accounts. And we started going broader and talking to our Facebook rep. They were like, here's what you need to do. And we were like, it's too broad. They're like, trust me, it'll work a little bit better. And sure enough, like, you know, 2 weeks in, everything started to click, no pun intended, but everything started to move and they're getting better numbers. And we have one client that targets as a product for moms, right? But what we went in there was we targeted married and or children involved or some subset of whatever it is on Facebook instead of just female and moms type thing and made it more broad. And wow, like the response has been amazing. And the same thing across the board for everything. That one just stands out because they were killing it with a very super hyper targeted type of audience. But now with a lot of the changes that are coming about, going broader was way better. And we never would have thought of that before. And I think when you think about it and you get into all the technical bullshit, and it is bullshit, I've been doing this for 18 years. The technical side really is just blocking and tackling. Like, it's like, okay, it's set up. Okay, now we can go into this. Well, when are we going to target this person? I'm like, all right, keep it a little broad at first, because what you're going to do is get that information back so then you can refine it. Then you're going to have subsets of all those ads that are hyper-targeted, but the broad ones are going to get you your information faster. And I always get laughed at by like some guru. They'll say like, you got to do this. And it's just like laser targeted. I'm like, it's laser targeted crap, because what will come back is like the only response to those people don't want to be advertised to. But if you have somebody whose cousin's brother, aunt, whatever is going through a surgery thing and they see something like a compression wear and they're like, this could help Aunt Joan, or this could do this, or this could do that, you start to reach a different audience. Don't get me wrong. The targeting is super key and the technical things are very, very key. But if you start there, what happens is you get a gobbledygook of stuff when things aren't working. You don't have easy things to swipe in and out, which is the copy, which is marketing 101 for 2000 plus years. Just like, you got to hit people with their pain and make it actually work to get an actual response.
And to your point, spending that time up front, getting to know your client, getting to know your patient, getting to know your customer as much as possible, getting into their mind. Because if you write that copy that's so specific to them, you can send it out to everyone. The only people that are going to respond are the people that it's specific to. And guess what? These algorithms are going to start rewarding that by showing it to more of those types of people. And I think it's a crucial, crucial thing to think about. But I want everyone to start thinking omni-channel. I think that's great.
Yeah, definitely. I don't even buy the algorithms anymore. Like, I don't. It's funny, is because the longer you do this and the better you do it and the more results you get, what you realize is when you look at certain things, and I'm talking like if you're just spending $1,000 a month, this doesn't apply. I mean, most of our clients are well into the 6 figures plus that they're spending per month. But when you look into this and you start to see the bigger picture, is totally pay to play, right? And I'm sure if we put this segment out in this clip that I'm saying, it'll probably get the one that's going to get me in trouble with somebody yelling at me, but I don't care. the biggest thing is when you look at it, it's like all this gobbledygook of algorithms and all that. Like, if you want to go hire somebody that's just going to talk to you about algorithms, you can go hire anybody. If you want to talk to somebody about getting results, understand, like, from this perspective and an omni-channel approach, is we're going to look at everything, because you can't just focus in on Facebook or Google or even YouTube. Mm-hmm. You have to take a look at all of this and how it fits into that ecosystem and how your clients buy from you currently. And if you do that part, all the other stuff becomes a heck of a lot easier. You know, you have to email, you have to blah, blah, blah. You have to do all these things, right? Yep. We could rattle off and talk for another hour, but like, getting into the technical, oh, how does this impact the algorithm? Don't get me wrong, there is one and you should take that into consideration. But all the other stuff's way more important at first.
What I'm saying, like, with the algorithm, don't worry about the algorithm. Just know that it's gonna do stuff. Don't try and game the algorithm. No one's that smart.
No, you'll lose it. You'll lose so fast.
I mean, these are literally the smartest people in the world, and they're all, Google and Facebook own all of them.
It's wild.
Yeah. And I know your person, your other agency, or your teenage son might say he's smarter than Facebook, but he's not.
Yeah. You can game it for a minute. There's no doubt. Like, we used to do it way back when, and we still can do it, but that's only short bursts, and that it'll actually start to work against you if you think like that's the way it's going to work, but it's always fun. It's always fun.
Well, and that's why people are freaked out about this OS change, right? It's because they've just been relying on that stuff, relying on a game that was going to change instead of going to the fundamentals, which we talked about today. But I love it. Thanks for showing your omni-channel approach. I mean, those are 8-to-1 return on ad spend after some time is a phenomenal result. And if you all, you know, just go check out Bad Rhino if you want to hire Marty and his team. Obviously, they are some of the best. But Marty, thank you so much for being on this special edition of the Garlic Marketing Show.
Absolutely, Ian. Anytime, man.
Video. You know it'll make you an authority. You know it will get you more leads. Better leads that close faster and spend more with you. And video stories will help you be remembered and connect with those perfect clients. The problem is, where do you start? Storycruise.com is the place to go. It's like a film crew with an S. What's your strategy? Do you do it yourself? Do you hire a videographer, an agency? Do you need an editor? How do you know if they really know your business and how to make videos for business that work? The answer to all of this and more can be found at storycruise.com. It is the place to find the latest video marketing strategies, the best gear for your business, as well as videographers, editors, and agencies near you that are trained in video storytelling for business. Go to storycruise.com/garlic to get special insider info for listeners of the Garlic Marketing Show, including special access to several of my courses, including my case story course. Go to storycruise.com/garlic to get a whole bunch of special offers just for listeners of the Garlic Marketing Show. Whether you're looking for a videographer or to do it yourself, go to storycruise.com/garlic to get started today.
That's it for the Garlic Marketing Show. If you want to get the inside scoop and the latest techniques, make sure to follow Ian Garlic on Facebook.